This is Nachyomi, Sefer Shemuel Aleph, chapter 9. This chapter details the meeting of Shaul and Shemuel and the process that will lead to Shaul's being selected as the king of Israel. The backstory is that some of the female donkeys of Shaul's father, Kish, have gone missing. Shaul and a young lad are dispatched on a mission to find them. After 3 days of traveling, Shaul suggests that they just abandon the search already and go home, because obviously the search has been unsuccessful. The young assistant responds that there's a well-known prophet in the area whom they could consult about the whereabouts of the missing donkeys. Shaul is hesitant to approach this man of God empty-handed and again suggests that maybe it's not a good idea, but the lad reassures Shaul that he has a little bit of money that he can offer the prophet as a tribute, and that shouldn't be a problem. When they reach the area in which Shemuel the prophet resides, Shaul and the lad encounter some young women who are drawing water nearby. The girls provide them with very detailed information as to when and where they're likely to catch the prophet and have an audience with him. Following these directions, Shaul and his assistant do encounter Shemuel on the street as he's about to enter a private home for a sacrificial meal. The day before, Shemuel had already received a prophecy from Hashem predicting that this meeting would take place. So therefore, Shemuel is well prepared. He informs Shaul that the donkeys have already been found. They returned home of their own accord. And he says, why should Shaul worry about this when he has, and his family has, everything that they could possibly want? This is very enigmatic. Shaul wonders about the meaning of such a vague statement that he has anything that he wants, anything desirable is already possessed by the family of Shaul. Shaul objects that his family is nobody. But Shemuel does not respond to this question, and rather leads him to the meal, where it turns out that Shemuel has already set aside a choice piece of meat from the day before for the sake of Shaul. All of this indicating that this meeting was much more significant than Shaul could ever have imagined, that Shaul is destined in some way for greatness, and that Shemuel was well prepared for this illustrious visitor for some reason. The chapter concludes with Shemuel poised to deliver a secret message to Shaul. We know that it will have to do with his coronation as king or his anointment as king, but that's not made immediately clear to us in the chapter. We're going to see more in the next chapter. Now, as an introduction to Shaul as a person, this story does provide us with some insight into his character on positives and negatives. On a positive side, which is the essence of the story, displays the positive side of Shaul, which is we see he's very humble, he's hardworking, he perseveres in a mission of searching for donkeys. He doesn't act like an aristocratic person. He doesn't even ride on horseback to go search for the donkeys. He's going on foot. But he's also realistic enough to abort a mission that he sees as fruitless or counterproductive. When he realizes that they've been walking around for 3 days looking for donkeys, he decides to give up. That's a reasonable and realistic decision to make. So he doesn't seem like he has great pride about his accomplishments. He also doesn't seem to be very wealthy. He has no money on him. His assistant, who's a servant, has more money on him than Shaul does. When the two men interact with the women at the water, despite the romantic overtones of the setting and the fact that the girls seem to be flirting a little bit with Shaul, the rabbis say that their long-winded instructions were intended to extend the amount of time they'd spend looking at Shaul, who was very handsome. Nonetheless, he doesn't show any interest in pursuing that. He's single-mindedly focused on the job at hand, and he's not distracted by the women. All of these qualities, humility, disinterest in wealth, control of his instinctual desires, all of these qualify him to serve as the king of Israel. We know that the Torah tells us that the king is supposed to limit his wealth. He's supposed to limit the number of women he marries and the number of horses he possesses. It also tells him that he has to study the Torah all the time, so he remains cognizant of his place in the world, and he doesn't become arrogant. So we see that Shaul really embodies all of these good qualities, these good characteristics that we expect in a king, in terms of humility and disinterest in the material things. At the same time, we do see some hint to the limit of Shaul's personality, which is that even at this early stage, we see that Shaul is overruled by his servant twice. He says that he wants to abort the mission. The servant says no. He says that he doesn't have money. The servant says, yes, we do. So each time, the servant somehow gets the upper hand. Now, while these are not especially egregious, they're not terrible instances of capitulation by Shaul, we do see that Shaul is willing to capitulate. He's willing to accept suggestions. He's very susceptible to suggestion. He's influenced by the expectations of others. And we're going to see that while this quality of modesty can be very charming and a positive thing, it can also reflect a deeper flaw in Shaul's personality that will be exacerbated once he becomes the king and will wind up causing great harm to his career in leading the Jewish people.